Good morning, Maybridge. It's really great to be amongst you, and it's a real privilege as well to be asked to share God's word with you this morning. Thank you, Matt, for the introduction, and thank you, musicians, for leading us in worship. There's some great truths that we've been singing this morning. It's really, really good to see those words up on the screen and to hear people singing them out. So as Matt said, my name's Ian. My wife is Tasha over there. You can raise your hand. Yeah, thank you. And I'll just put up on screen. A little bit small there, but that is our family. That's our two sons, Ethan and Ollie. Ethan's 11, Ollie's 10. They're over at the Keystone Centre at the minute, probably causing chaos. I thought I'd just put that up there because, well, you can't really see them, but it's nice. You don't always see families together so much with the kids over there. So two boys are ours. Watch out for them at the end of the service. They might run into you when you have a hot cup of tea. But that is us standing in the deserts of Oman. So we spent 10 years, nearly 11 years actually living there. The boys basically grew up there. Ethan was 3 months old when we moved there. Ollie was born there. And we both had varying times. We had secular jobs there, but we were also very much involved in the leadership of a very diverse multicultural church there, which was an amazing experience, really formative time for us. And now we're in Worthing. thank you. But seriously, it's really great. Yeah, we're very happy to be in this place. I won't go into the whole story of how we ended up here. I think that's something to tell you over dinner sometime. But we're very much happy here. Obviously, it's early days, are still, not fully settled, but we're so grateful for this congregation here, so grateful for this church. Many of you here that have welcomed us and chatted to us, and you really are a welcoming community of people. So I just want to thank you for that and acknowledge that, because that's something that you don't always see when you're used to it, but we've really appreciated that. So I'm today continuing the series called The Radical King that we've been going through for, I think, 20 years, is that right? Yeah. Long before my time, anyway. And I've titled it today, what have I titled it? There we go. Sheep, Sons and Shepherds. Sons implies men, doesn't it? I've used that very deliberately, sons, there. Now, I have to admit, part of that is that it alliterates, and no preacher can resist a good alliterating title. But sons is actually something that is used very symbolically in Scripture, not to exclude women, but because it emphasizes the fact that in Christ we receive the inheritance and the title of the Father. And that's something that in those cultures there, that is something that only was reserved for the son. So it's pointing to a deeper truth there. So Galatians 3, 26 and 28, for example, says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So male or female, we are all sons of God, one in Christ. Amen. So I'm going to move on now to the passage. I keep forgetting I'm controlling this as well. This is Matthew 18, 10 to 14. Can I ask for a volunteer to read this? You're going to hear a lot of my voice, so let's hear another voice. I'll pick on somebody if somebody doesn't start. Go on then, Fiona. Thank you.
"See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish."
Thank you, Fiona. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. So the first question I want to come to is, who is he talking to and who is he talking about? And this passage here, Matthew 18, I think this is the third message in this chapter. And this is one of the five major discourses of Jesus that is recorded in the book of Matthew. And in this one, his audience is very much his disciples. Some of the times he's preaching to vast crowds. But here it's a smaller group. It's his disciples. And so he's addressing them, some of whom are going to become apostles, the foundation of the church. So in a sense, this is like some leadership training here. He's teaching these disciples about how to treat young or immature believers. But if you know anything about the disciples, mature might not be the first word that comes to mind to describe them. Even at the start of this chapter that Steve preached on a couple of weeks ago, they were having an argument amongst themselves about which one of them was the greatest. You know, they went on to have many different disputes and doubts and denials, and they were not always people that represented the most mature believers there. But they represented this kind of truth that we see in each one of us, that there is a growing towards maturity in Christ, but there's also still a lot of growth that is needed as well. So he was speaking to these disciples about how they deal with, do not despise these little ones, so more younger, less mature Christians, but there's also something of that in the disciples as well. So the second half of verse 10 is kind of justification for the first half. It says, do not despise these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Angels. Yeah, where do we go with that without either ending up somewhere really weird or adding another hour or two to the sermon length? But for the sake of brevity and sanity, let's just say that however easy or tempting it might be sometimes to despise another believer, they have an advocate in heaven standing before the Father. Who are we to despise those people that are represented there before the throne of God? So we may not understand exactly what it's getting to. I'm not going to go any further into that. There's definitely mystery there. But the point is these people that may be at times so easy to despise, they are represented before the throne of God. If God accepts them, then so should we. Verse 12. At this point, he asks a question, and we're getting here into a very well-known parable. I'm sure we've all been familiar with this from the very first day that we heard a Bible story. That's the story of the lost sheep. So verse 12, it says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not convinced that there's such an obvious answer to that as the way that Jesus seems to present it. If he has 100 sheep and one goes astray, does he leave the 99 and go and look for it? It's easy when we're familiar with a passage like this just to assume, oh yes, of course, God goes after the one. But there's always something kind of surprising that Jesus is trying to get into these parables. So I just want to put a question up on the screen. Now, I'm being a bit silly here, but it maybe helps put it into a little bit of context. So if you had £100 and you lost £1, how much effort would you go into finding that pound? You might be a little bit annoyed, but you're probably not going to go to a huge amount of effort to recover that £1. Now, this isn't exactly a parallel to what he's talking about here. But this is a bit of an absurd story when you think about it, because sheep are simply assets. They're property. And if you've been walking out in the South Downs at all recently and you've seen all the lambs and everything, which is always beautiful to see, you probably notice they all have a number sprayed on them. I wondered what that was to start with, when I was looking a bit more, and it's like, oh, I think that's like linking them to the mother, because you'd see, you know, big sheep with 57 on and a few small sheep with 57 on. So they're all numbered. They're property. And, you know, if any of you have ever been involved in any way in, like, organisational risk management, you'll know that, you know, one of the responses that you can have to a risk that's been identified is just to accept it. You know, it's going to cost more to mitigate this risk than that risk actually represents, so we're just going to accept it. And there's a risk in raising a flock of sheep. Sheep could be lost through disease, they could be stolen, they could be injured in the harsh environment, they could be killed by predators. Now, I'm no expert in the economics of ancient Near Eastern animal husbandry, but you might be surprised by that. But I'd say that a 1% loss is not a terrible outcome. That's probably not all that bad. Certainly not the kind of loss where you abandon the rest of the flock on the mountainside and you put yourself in danger trying to hunt down and rescue the one that is missing. Jesus, being the master communicator that he is, he would often use imagery in his parables that was familiar to his audience, but then go off in a surprising direction to expand their revelation of who God is and who they are to him. And his audience would be quite familiar, first of all, with sheep and shepherds. That would be something that is not to us today, but to them would have been a familiar sight. But they'd also be quite familiar of the picture of God as a shepherd and them as his sheep. And that image is laced throughout Scripture, perhaps most famously in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in grassy fields. He leads me before still waters. He restores my soul." So on, beautiful passage. So there are clear parallels between God as shepherd and us as sheep. Like a shepherd, God is infinitely bigger, more powerful than the flock. But despite that, a shepherd and also God cares about their sheep. The shepherd wants the sheep to be healthy, well-watered and fed, because they're more valuable that way. But this is where the surprise comes in. The story doesn't describe, and it makes no sense if it's talking about the relationship between an owner and an asset, or even a custodian and their master's asset. It describes a relationship between a father and a son. A son does not have a number, they have a name. A son is not a line on a balance sheet. A son is loved unconditionally. And it's relatively easy, maybe, sometimes, you know, if we believe in a God, it can be relatively easy to see ourselves as being owned by God, maybe perhaps being useful to God in certain small ways. But this parable reminds us that we are children of God, each one of us loved by him and known by him. My kids are in a mountain biking club, and they're each in different groups. So usually I will ride with Ethan's group. He's the older one, and Tasha will ride with Ollie's group. And a few weeks ago, we were out in Whiteways Forest over near Arundel. And we were halfway through the session, and a message went out on the WhatsApp group saying, Arthur and Ollie have gone missing. Can anybody let us know if you find them? Ollie being my son. So I, of course, you know, immediately leapt into action. And me and the group leader that we were with, we arranged to leave those kids with a few of the adult helpers there. And we were going to go off and help look for these two missing kids. And I explained to Ethan, I said, yeah, you stay here with them. Yeah, you'll be fine. Ride. Yeah, they're just going to stay around here. And he understood, and I was just about to jump on the bike and ride off when Ethan said, "Dad," and I was like, "Yes," and I thought he was going to want his snack or his water or something, and he goes, "Can you not leave me? Can you stay with me?" And I was like, "Absolutely not," and I jumped on my bike and rode off. Perhaps a little bit harsh, but the point is, my priority was to the son that was lost, rather than the one that was in the place of relative safety. It wasn't that I loved Ollie anymore or anything like that, but he was not my priority at that time. Verse 13 says, if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I should probably also finish that story and say we did find Ollie. He was fine. We're not still looking. People feel lost and get lost in life for many different reasons. Maybe some of you here today feel lost in various different ways. Sometimes you feel lost in a fog of your own making, like a haze of guilt and shame over what you know you've done, feeling unworthy before God. But sometimes you feel lost because of circumstances you did not choose, or lost in a situation that is not your doing and not your fault whatsoever. If there is anybody here that feels in any way lost in certain circumstances in your life, whatever the meaning, whatever is behind that, the truth I want you to hear today is that God is present with you. He's heard your cry. He's lifting you out of the miry clay. He's setting your feet on a rock and he's making your steps secure. He knows your name. He sees you as a beloved son, as a beloved daughter. And get this, he rejoices over your return more than he rejoices over the 99 that was never lost. There is no condemnation. There is just grace upon grace for you. So let's recap. In this passage, we've been identified as sheep. That brings great humility. I mean, have you ever seen a proud sheep? They're not exactly the most majestic animals out there. We're sheep, but we're also sons of God with an imperishable, undefiled, and unfading inheritance before us. And we're also sheep. We're both. And it's in that truth of holding those two things together that we really start to find out who we are in God. But there's a third identity that I want to draw out today, and that's that of the shepherd. We might assume that the shepherd here is simply God, and that is certainly part of it. But there's more to it than that. Remember the context of this parable. He's addressing his disciples to not despise the little ones. He's addressing more mature Christians about their attitude towards baby Christians. Now, there is, of course, the role of the pastor and shepherd within any particular congregation, and that's really important and valuable. But I also want to emphasize today the role that we all have as brothers and sisters within a family to look out for one another, to pray for one another, build up and encourage one another. Every single person that counts themselves as part of Maybridge Community Church has a unique gift to contribute. Just as Paul put it so vividly in 1 Corinthians, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, nor can the head say to the feet, I do not need you. The body needs all of its parts doing what they were created to do. That goes for our physical body and it goes for the body of Christ. It needs all of its parts playing its part. That means there will be times when everybody here will be called to be a shepherd in a particular situation, to bring wisdom, to bring God's wisdom direction into a particular situation and help that person to know which way to go. But we're also all still sheep. There's no graduation moment. There's no moment where we don the gown and we go from being sheep to shepherds. We're all still sheep, even the pastor. We're all sheep. So there will be times also for each one of us where we need to be open and humble, remember that we are sheep, remembering that we get lost and remembering that we need direction and opening our lives up to others where they may have something to speak into our lives. They may have wisdom to bring to us. So we're sheep, sons, and shepherds. We hold in tension these seemingly incompatible things that it says about us. And in all of that, we find who we truly are. We're not majestic or impressive in ourselves, but we're adopted as sons by the radical King. We're placed in a kingdom community, each one of us with a purpose. Now, I'm coming to the conclusion of this message. I'd like to ask Piero if you'd mind stepping back up. But as I conclude, I want to just return to the concept of being lost. In this passage, being lost is definitely partly about turning away from God altogether. But something like that never happens in an instant. There are degrees of lostness. There's a trajectory that we find our lives are on at different times. And I believe for each of us, and I know this is true for me, there are areas in our heart where we struggle sometimes to feel God's presence. Perhaps there's areas where we're even hiding from him. We're ashamed. We don't want him to find us. But today, the Good Shepherd is here to meet you. He wants to find you. He's not here to condemn you. He's not here to heap guilt and shame on you. He's here to say, come to me. I love you. You are my son. You are my daughter. I know you by name. So today is his invitation, if you need it, to be found, to be embraced by his grace, to become aware again of his presence with you. Even when you feel so distant, he is right there with you. Even when circumstances might suggest to you that he's not there, he's walking side by side. He's wanting you to be restored in the knowledge that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're loved, you're unique. You're valued by King Jesus. There's nobody here that's a seat filler, a number. None of us are defined by what we earn or our marital status or any of those kind of things that maybe in the world we value. We're loved by the Father. And if the musicians can just start to play, I just ask you to close your eyes. And if there's something that you've identified as I've been speaking in your life where you feel that there's a certain sense of lostness, just invite you to bring that before God now. But that's not everybody. Don't want people conjuring something up. If you feel really secure right now, then praise God for that. But maybe there's somebody that you know who might be feeling lost. You can bring them before God in this moment. I'm going to finish before handing back to the musicians by reading Psalm 139, 7 to 18. The words won't be on the screen, so if you just keep your eyes closed and let these words come to you. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And then that chapter concludes, search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Father God, we come before you today as your sheep. We humble ourselves before you. We repent of any grandeur or pride, making out that we are more than we are. But we also thank you for the wonderful, incredible truth that you have adopted us as your sons and daughters. You have accepted us. You know us by name. Lord, we thank you that you are a good shepherd to our sheep-like souls, Lord. And we ask that you will lead us as you have led us in the way of everlasting. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.